that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, that old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
that old wheel,
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
And that old wheel has rolled around again, rolled around a Saturday morning, and it's time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and we're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, January 13th, 2018, and we say good morning to you, the remnant, and good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And it's still a dark morning here. Clouds to the east. And looks like it's going to be a beautiful day, though. Looks like the sun's trying to get up and chase the clouds away. But we welcome you here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network for joining us this Saturday morning. And we'll have the phone lines open in a bit. But, John, do you want to open us up with prayer, sir?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day and every other day. Thank you for all our many blessings. We ask that you would forgive us for the times that we take for granted the little things. Lord, we continue to pray for those things that were done in the dark to be brought to the light. And we see the evidence of that almost every day, Father. Things that were done by those who thought they were not only above the laws of man, but above the laws of God. Those who seek to destroy your people, those who set their traps and dig their pits. And Father, we know that your word says that you sit in the heavens and you laugh and you scoff at them. And Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy regarding hearing your people who are called by your name, who cried out, turned from their wicked ways. We thank you for keeping your promise that you would restore their land, but Father, I pray that we would not once again fall asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel, that you would just rejuvenate us, Lord, spiritually, physically, and mentally. Father, that we would dedicate the time that we need to the Word of God, reading our Bibles, and the time that we need to be on our knees and praying for not only our families, but the whole body, Lord, those that Christian followers of Jesus Christ who love you and serve you, and their desire is no king but King Jesus. To that end, Lord, we ask that you would guide and direct our thoughts this morning, that you would give us the things that are important to your people to know and to understand and to properly prepare for. And Father, we ask that you would continue to increase our knowledge, that in this, the year of our Lord 2018, we would continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, that we would sharpen each other, each man, as iron sharpens iron, as your word says. And Lord, we wouldn't look for fault, and that we wouldn't look to tear each other down, but we would look to encourage one another to love and good deeds, just as your word says. I know that that doesn't mean that we're to promote false teachings, Father, and that's not our desire at all. Our desire is to learn what it is that you have, those deeper hidden truths that are all throughout the Bible, that your word says that a diligent, faithful man will seek out the truth. And that's our desire, Lord, is to seek out the truth and to restore this, the true JERUSALEM, to the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And we say, here we are, Lord, use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? Just bless this time of fellowship today, Lord. Bless those that are listening. Put it upon their hearts and minds and souls what it is that you would have them to speak about that's beneficial to your people. We thank you for the provisions, Lord, that you give us that allow us to broadcast 24 hours a day, Lord. And thank you for the engineers at WTWW. In fact, we lift them all up right now, Father. They appear to be battling the flu bug and been down for 10 plus days. So, Lord, we plead that precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, over ourselves and our families and over the whole body, Lord, those that are yours, for a cleansing, for a restoration, for a restoral of mind, body, and soul, and also for protection, Lord. Put a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around those that are yours. Put angels above them, below them, to left, to right, running behind them. Cancel any satanic assignments. Father, remove any legal ground that Satan has to operate in their lives, and just draw us together stronger, Lord, as one body of true Christian followers of Jesus Christ, with one purpose: to destroy those that hate you, hate your people. We pray all these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, plenty going on around the country. Of course, we had the big snowstorm, the big cold that just ripped from Florida to the Canadian border all up the East Coast this past week. And there were lots of power outages, lots of people cold, a good bit of snow. I think they call that wintertime is kind of how that works out. Seems like some good old-fashioned wintertime, and that's what we've had some of that here, some below zeros and some wind. And then out in California, of course, they got the big Thomas fire, finally got it completely contained. They feel like it's out. But again, this past week, everybody probably saw the mudslides that were there. They had the rain and the 50 and 60 degree temperature, and right where that big fire was above Montecito, just flooded. some of the videos, some of the pictures. I've got some pictures to share with you tomorrow morning on a review of the news. We'll start the Sunday morning off with that. Devastating.
Yeah, but who is it who really put the fire out?
Devastating. Well, it's the rains.
The Lord put the fire out.
Yeah, it is. It's the rains.
Because they can't put those fires out.
No. No, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, we have talked in the past. I remember Pastor has several messages on those fires burning in California back from the mid, 2004, 2005, 2006. And the fires this year, record-setting fires. They were bigger and hotter and burned more than even those back 10, 12 years ago. New records being set. And the same thing with these mudslides. There were over, that fire that they just had was over 400 square miles. And it destroyed over 1,000 homes, businesses, structures. Devastating. Devastating. And then here the mudslides come after it. And the last count I've seen, 17, maybe 18, that they've seen that have died as a result of this. One quote that I saw in the news report I wanted to share, and the quote was from this guy, and he said, "It seemed like just heavy rain, and 5 minutes later, I heard a whoosh, a sound like a whoosh is how they put it, and the mud came in the house like a dam breaking." Until you see the videos, it's kind of hard to imagine, but it was just a massive, almost instantaneous flood, not just of water, but of this water, this thick mud, of course, tree limbs, branches, logs, in the people's house, and then it just came right up. And there were many people that got up and had to be rescued off the roof. There was so much. Reminded me of the big flood that we saw down in Colorado just a few years ago. But when he said it came in an instant, and I thought, we think sometimes that just the way things are the way things will always be. But they're not. They're just not. In Isaiah 30, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Therefore this iniquity will be to you like a breach about to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose collapse comes suddenly in an instant, and whose collapse is like the smashing of a potter's jar." And, of course, he's preaching against these calamities that will come upon in an instant. And that certainly happened out there in California. We read about that, with storms in the Midwest, with tornadoes, things that just that come upon people instantly that they're not prepared for. Maybe physically the not being prepared might be not being down in the storm shelter or not paying attention to the weather or things like that, but that's not the only thing that happens in an instant. The word tells us that our life is but a hand's breadth, just a passing, and that's it, and none of us know the day and time that our life will be over, and that time may come in an instant. And so, spiritually, we need to be ready for that. People need to be aware of that. Anyway, that was my little thought this morning, just how these mudslides caught the people unaware. It seems like the reports that I saw that they were still thankful they didn't get burned up from the fire. But here, just a couple weeks later, there was more devastation.
Yeah, we had similar things happen out here in Colorado with those fires in the foothills, flooding and mudslides and the rain after that vegetation is burned up on the hillsides just can cause the next wave of devastation. But it does appear that California is being hit exceedingly hard, and as the East Coast was hit pr- pretty hard too with this that storm, the fire or whatever it was, the some bomb. I forgot what the name of it was, but kind of crazy. Basically, a hurricane in the winter is what they call it, and we talked about it a little bit last week. But you think of the devastation of flooding. You know, I don't know if you've been through it. I've been through it. The university here, local university, flooded real bad in '97 to the point of complete basements underwater, and then lift stations backing up into that area, which caused a whole other set of problems. But then you multiply that damage by the flooding and by cold temperatures and actual vehicles and things being frozen into the ice, and really there's nothing you can do until that starts to thaw. It's not like you can heat the outside too easily. So we're definitely still seeing God's wrath in a lot of different ways.
We are. That changing of the year from 2017 to 2018, it wasn't like, okay, now the bad weather's over. You know, these catastrophic, life-changing, life-threatening events that we've seen pretty regular since the solar eclipse of last year, they continue on. They continue on. So it's a time to as the world puts it, some anyway do, to be right with God. You better be right. You better be ready. Part of that is reading your Bible. We've got the January Bible reading plan out with the last newsletter, Volume 9 of 2017, and that's in everybody's hands. And so we do encourage you to that's one of the ways you can help, that will help you stay on the straight and narrow, is read the Word. See what the Word says. Today's Bible reading, Mark 9 through 11, and in Mark 10, it's got Jesus' teaching on with the rich young ruler that wanted to know what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus told him. And for the most part, he was good with that. But something came up there that he had to make a choice. Even though he had been good all his life, you read the story, I'm not going to read it, but he says, "Teacher, I've kept all these things from my youth up." All the things that Jesus had told him up to that point. But there was still a little bit more. There was still another battle he had to make, another choice. And, you know, the story ends up, but at these words he was saddened, and he went away grieving. He went away grieving. You know, when I come face to face with Jesus Christ, I do not want to go away grieving. By any shape or means, and I hope you're like that as well, folks. And so, you know, that's why these stories are here. These stories are here to apply to us today, for us to read them when take the stories and the precepts and the concepts and apply it to our lives, and become a doer of the Word, and not just a hearer. And so. So we're going to continue to encourage you to read your Bible and to apply the things there that that we need to apply in our life. That we do. Well, Jason, how do you see things kind of wrapping up? I know John had mentioned those floods and after the fires and stuff. I know you were involved in a lot of that. Heck, even some rescues and helping out some neighbors back there when that was going on. Thankfully, it's not.
Yeah, that was kind of old news, though. I mean, I mean, it's as far as wrapping up. I mean, you know, one of the things that we've had here in Colorado that, you know, just recently is this week we've had we had a body of somebody that was found that was murdered. We've had two trials for different murder trials, and you know, following those murder trials is what's kind of a, you know, sad deal, but, you know, one guy in 2016 killed his girlfriend. And, you know, as you look through this trial information and you read, you know, basically between the lines on what has happened, is just how messed up that society is, and how little they put on human life. This one guy was, accused, admitted to killing his ex-girlfriend, and now that they're trying to argue the situation because it was a revolver and he had to manually cock the firearm by hand, and he shot her at point blank range 3 times in the head. Please just tell me, why does that make a difference? I mean, he shot her in a vehicle, you know, at point blank range in the head. And why his attorney is making a big deal because it was a single action revolver versus a double action revolver versus a semi-automatic handgun. What difference does
murder's
it make?
Murder, huh?
Murder is murder. He shot her at point blank range in the head 3 times and dumped her body. It should be game over.
And then
you look at how there's attorneys that are defending him, and they are taking the money and standing up for him and are like, well, you know, that, and they're trying to get him off on this technicality and that technicality. And it's what people don't realize is, and I don't even know if maybe they're not even being told, but you know, at the same time, it's like if they got this guy off, those attorneys are held to just as much of accountability for that as the person behind it.
Amen.
And they should be. And they, you know, they need to realize that. And, you know, I mean, you look at that. And then there was another situation where there was 3 Ohio men that came out to Colorado, and this trial is going on too. And, you know, they come out to Colorado and murder a guy, take his car, take his money, take his drugs, and get stopped on their way back to Ohio. You know, and it was the same thing. They get in the car with him, they kill him point blank range. And, you know, and it's like, okay, they've all admitted to doing it. They've got more evidence than they need. And they're going through wasting their money on a trial, and they have a whole collaboration of attorneys that are standing up for these 3 guys. You know, it's like, okay, they said they've done it. What, you know, why do they need an attorney? Sentence them. You know, let's get on with it. You know, and you talk about a rat race, and you talk about you take one of these people, and they're talking about, okay, 32 consecutive life sentences on okay, what is that? I mean that's insanity right there in itself. Okay, because you can only live out one life sentence, and then they've got 32 years on additional charges. Okay, big deal. You know, you're talking $100,000 to keep him in a federal or state penitentiary in the on taxpayer money for the rest of his life. $100,000. That's what the state or the feds get billed for each prisoner that they have in that facility. $100,000 a year. That's more than most people make a year. And you're going to do that for life on somebody that admitted to shooting somebody at point blank range. You talk about an insane world. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, then they'll plea to avoid the death penalty, like you said. But Pastor Peters pointed out an important point that most people don't realize, though, is that the jails and the correctional facilities and things, they've all become privatized, and they're actually owned by judges. And what better way to guarantee that you have tenants but to fill them up with the people that should be death penalty? And I mean, it's like a guaranteed income for those that own those correctional facilities.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, you talk about a rat race, but it's, I mean, that's what they do. And that's the truth of the matter. It's they have a lot of them are owned by sheriffs, by judges, by attorneys. I mean, you can, you know, there's, and a lot of these judges have that's where their retirement comes from, is their retirement fund has been, invested in owning these private prisons. You know, I mean, who would have thunk it, you know, that you can invest, or you got enough money, you can go out and you can buy a prison and contract to the state government and incarcerate people. Well, that's the way it works here in America. You know, but as you look at it, I mean, the thing is you look at it, and you talk about, you know, it's like how superior God's law is, you know, if people would actually get back to that point. You know, and people can't even comprehend that today. I mean, they think that's just and that is the farthest thing from their mind, is getting back to God's law on anything. You know, as you look, you read some of these stories, and it is not even worth the paper that it's printed on. They are giving it so much waste of time, and. You know, it's like, okay, nobody ever stops to... One thing that I noticed, it's like, you know, as I'm reading these stories and looking into this, it's like, you know, nobody ever says anything about the mother, the father, the family of the victim. They keep them completely removed and out of the news. They don't mention them. And, you know, it's like, does anybody stop and think about, okay, yeah, you know, here you got somebody that murdered somebody at point blank range in their car, picked them up, hijacked them, and dumped them in the woods. And it's like, okay, what does the family have to say about this? And oh well, we've had to do a really good job at keeping the family away. And this is a very high risk situation because the family's really upset. Well, no kidding. What do you expect?
Yep.
Well, the good news is some of those don't make it to their life sentences in the prison. There's those that have the laws of God on their heart and
exactly
take care of them in prison. And it happens way more than we know, than the media tells us. You know, we hear about one or two here or there, but I'm pretty sure it happens a lot more than people realize. But I was talking to a local law enforcement agent here this week, and he'd been on the force for 20 years and seen the degradation of these small towns, you know, these small mountain towns. And he said the single biggest jump in criminal activity, including major crime, rape and murder and everything, increased dramatically when this stupid state legalized marijuana. And he said he took a one-year reprieve from the local police force and decided to work for the feds right after, I think it was right after 9/11, when they started bringing in those federal police forces. You started seeing federal enforcement agent or whatever driving around local towns. And he said he was working with ICE for that year, and it was interesting the wording, but basically it was like we had handcuffs on the whole time, you know, during the abomination administration. And he said, you talk about being frustrated, there was nothing you could do. And he ended up getting out of that, but he said things are changing in a big way, and the liberals are just losing their mind over it, because you know, they had it all but sewn up with Jezebel Clinton getting into position. But say what you want about Trump, he's made mistakes, absolutely, and this thing with Israel, everybody's ready to throw him under the bus for that. But you got to remember who's advising him. It's the spiritual leaders that are the mega churches and the TV spiritual leaders and all that. And who do they promote? It's obviously the Jews. So instead of condemning him, we need to be praying for him, I think, that he would see the truth, and that...
It was what we need to be praying for him, absolutely, as we do, you know, not just him, but a lot of our leaders. But at the same time, we don't need to make any excuses about what he's doing when, you know, when he goes against and he starts blessing those who hate the Lord, You know, you got to be real careful. That is very careful things that we need to be treading upon, because we can bring the wrath of God upon ourselves by blessing those who hate the Lord. And, you know, he's walking, he's treading on that water. So, you know, it's not, I mean, I agree with you. We got to pray for them, and, you know, because we need to be doing that for a lot of them. But at the same time, we do not need to be making excuses for the wrong decisions that he's doing either.
Right.
Yeah, we need to be praying that he, you know, for his eyes to be opened, just as ours have been. Those antichrists are a very controlling factor in that devil city, for sure, and all across this nation. I think about that message or broadcast that when you brought it out, Jason, about. You know, to the fact that if you wanted to borrow money in Texas to rebuild your house after the flood, you had to sign that you wouldn't boycott Israel. And what that had to do with anything in rebuilding your house after a flood in Texas, didn't really make any sense. But yet there it was. And so those evil antichrists have had generations to get their scaly fingers into so many different aspects of this country, and president, his cabinet, and his advisors—they're certainly neck deep in that. And so we do need to pray for his protection, that he would, see the light, that he would see, what it is that these people do, the evil that these people represent. That's where it goes back. That's one of the roots, of this evil that we have in the land. John, I like how you put it, that no, he's not perfect. He needs to, how many times do we read about in the Old Testament that a good king would come in and he would do about 90%. He would get rid of this. He would kill the old the Baal priest, he would do this, but he wouldn't maybe remove the high places, or he wouldn't do this one thing. He by any means, he's certainly not perfect. And we read, it sure seems to me, very similar stories in the Old Testament when they would get a king. But God can still, I think God can still use him. God can take
Well, how many times? I mean, that's one of the things, like what John said, is, it's so important, because is what you need to do. I mean, that's one of the most important things we need to be doing when we're trying to witness to anybody, is pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
And pray for them when they, that they see the light. I mean, that's...
Absolutely.
There's a lot of times that you are not going to get through to somebody, by talking to them or arguing with them or, showing them scriptures. I've gotten a lot farther with people by just, presenting them some information and praying for them.
Yes. Yes.
You got to pray for that anointing of the Holy Spirit to come down upon them.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Very well put. Very well put. Because God answers prayers. The Bible is true when it says the prayer of the righteous availeth much, but the people won't pray. Try that. Start your day off with prayer. If you haven't started it today, at the end of this program, take 5 minutes. Take 5 minutes and pray. If you have to go get in your prayer closet, if you have to go in the wherever and close the door, and do that and pray, remnant, pray. Make that part of your daily life and see the change. Yes. No, it's breaking up now, John. Jason, did we lose John?
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah, I can't hear you, John. I'll shoot him a text and see if he can. He might have lost service back there. Well, folks, we're coming to you. That's live radio. There he is back. January 13th, 2018. The program is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. You may hear this program later. It does replay at different times over the weekend and on Monday evening as well. But it's just one of the many programs on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And John, do we have you back?
I don't know. Am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah,
hey,
you're back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I was talking, and you kept talking. I'm thinking, wait, what's going on here?
I know.
I couldn't say another one of.
Couldn't hear you, brother.
Another one of the spiritual weapons that God's given us is found in Hebrews 1:14, that He's given us charge over myriads and myriads of angels. And what I found extremely helpful after finding that is you can call for the Lord to send ministering angels to those people that you're trying to reach. And at least in my experience, that's made a huge difference as far as removing the scales from their eyes, unstopping their ears, removing the crust on their hearts, you know, that the world's placed there. And I think that's an important spiritual weapon that we need to remember that we have.
Amen to that.
Yeah, one of the things that, you know, as we talk about, you know, flip-flop, it's, they are really attacking that First Amendment rights right now. And, you know, here's just part of a news article that I thought was interesting. It says, what has become remarkably clear to nearly everyone is that Google, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Yahoo, and other tech giants now operate as radical left-wing censorship regimens that selectively shadow, ban, and oppress conservative ideas. Tech giants have been infiltrated by left-wing cultists who literally believe that they have the right to suppress and destroy any speech with which they disagree with. This is all pursued under the banner of social justice and equality, of course, because to a deranged leftist, equality means only hearing one side of any given debate.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and this is one of the first articles that I actually seen that they call, you know, that they talk about the leftist. You know, it used to be the right-wing extremist. Now you're having the left-wing cultist. You know, is a new term that's actually started to pop up into society. And, you know, I mean, you talk about what they do. I mean, it's one of the things that it's actually just being exposed, because we've been talking about it here for years. You know, we called this a Voice in the Wilderness ministry when we launched our radio campaigns. But, you know, the thing is a Voice in the Wilderness doesn't reach that many people. And I don't even like to use that term anymore, but that's one of the things that we you know, completely and constantly spoken out on is, you know, how there is this mass media censorship that has taken place, you know, in this land. And, you know, you're starting to see a lot of that right now. And I think that that's one of the things that, I mean, I think that's, I really believe that's an answer to prayer, because I think that they're being brought down lower and lower and lower. And they've been exposed for what they're doing and how they are censoring so much of the truth out of things. You know, a lot of people don't, they look at the internet like it's something, like it's an absolute truth. That they can go to Google and they can Google anything and that they're going to get the truth. You know, and that's simply not the fact. You go into, you know, certain parts of Asia and you type in Jesus Christ into a search engine, you get nothing, absolutely nothing will come back to you. And that's because of censorship.
Yeah, you know, yep. you think about it, one of the most significant things that the Trump administration has done, in my opinion, even before he was elected, is expose the fake media.
Yeah.
I mean, he says things that we've been thinking for the longest time. Like just this week, they're talking about the refugees, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if he actually said that, you know,
but
it's whole countries. But
it's what the people are thinking.
Yeah.
It is. It is. I had Brother Lynn from Nebraska sent me a text when that happened, and he was like, you hear what Trump said? And I had to look it up because I hadn't. And it's like, it's like, well, that's what the people have been thinking. That's right. The people are sick and tired, unfortunately, both spiritually but physically, of these poor, wretched refugees that are portrayed by that left-wing left, those cultist leftist cultists. Oh, that we have to bring them in, and we have to help them, and we have to do this and that. And then they come in, and they destroy neighborhoods. They destroy. They push the value of your home down. They come in. They're hanging goats and chickens in the front yard, and they take, and there's no give back. That is not what this country was founded on. This country was founded to further the Christian faith. And the largest mass migration that ever happened was when the European nations came to America, in keeping with Bible prophecy, where one from a city and two from a town would come to the new Zion, to the new Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and become, in that mass migration, become two things, Christian and American. And that's what happened from in the 1400s and the 1500s and the 1600s and the 1700s and the 1800s. And that is not what is happening today. Those people came in and assimilated. They came in and became American. They came in, and if they didn't speak the language, they made sure their children did. And they did whatever they had to do to become American. And when I say fit in, to assimilate, to learn the language.
Yeah, but the difference was,
and it's not that today.
The difference was they were, for the most part, they were Christians.
Yes.
They came in here. They may speak a different language, but it was a European language. You got the majority of the people, whether they, you want to admit it or not, they're coming in and they're bringing their false gods with them.
Yes.
And it's been a orchestrated destruction on this country. The fact that we have, I don't know how many thousands of mosques now in this country. In fact, I was looking at a story the other day in China. There was a group of 50,000 supposedly Christians, I don't know, but that built over a $2 million building, and the government just came in there and tore it down, just brought in heavy equipment and said, get out, and tore it down. But, I long for the day when hopefully I'm operating one of those excavators, but these false temples and shrines are torn down,
Yes, amen.
There's a huge one right here in the Front Range of Colorado, and there's more than one.
That's right.
And
the people need to get it in their mind that when that left-wing media, when the media puts out, oh, the illegal immigration, immigration, we are not seeing immigration today. We are seeing an invasion. It's a different term, and that's exactly what it is. These people are not coming to, whether they're the Muslims, they're coming across the southern border, whatever, they are not coming to assimilate. They are coming to take over. They are coming to bring their culture, their people, their mosques, their, all of that here, their Sharia law, their filth. Jason, you've described many times down there that just the absolute filth that you've seen from these filthy South Americans, Mexicans, Guatemalans, whatever, that come in, that are just filthy. The Bible describes that as well. It's an invasion, folks. It's an absolute invasion. Reminds me of a pastor talking about his history teacher used to tell him that when he was at Pearl Harbor, pastor's history teacher, and the bombs started dropping from the Japanese, and he said he remembered a guy running around, war, war, war. And that's what this is. It is absolute war. It's invasion, invasion, invasion. It's like the movie Invasion of the Body Snatchers, but it's Invasion of the Mind Snatchers. We welcome these people in.
Locust of Joel.
Yeah. It is the Locust of Joel.
But then you look at who's getting rich on this, too. That's what most people don't understand.
Oh, the Catholic Church is the number one.
The Roman Catholic Church, and it's the Lutheran churches, and it's all the main mainstream churches that are making millions upon millions by bringing these people in and establishing
absolutely
residence for them. I mean,
it does.
Jason knows that. He tried to advertise a rental in Laramie and had what? Most of the calls were federal government.
Almost all of them.
Yeah.
Subsidies, yeah.
Well, and you look around now for...
Throw a few tamales in your rental and see what happens.
That's right. You look around now for rentals and stuff, and you'll see that people advertise no Section 8 housing at this time. And that's what that is. And you're absolutely right. Got a scripture. Tell me if this applies. 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. And I think that that's what it is, that you have some people that are of the dispersion, how about that, that see the enemy getting rich on these type things, bringing in the enemy, consorting with the enemy, with the invaders, hey, we can make money on that too. That greed pops in, and we find ourselves in the middle of an absolute invasion, illegal immigration, yeah, illegal invasion. Is what it is.
Well, you talk about
the lower in America
censorship on the news. They had this guy that supposedly vandalized this Islamic center here in Fort Collins. He was found, supposedly, use that term lightly anymore, but supposedly he was found committed suicide in a hotel on Saturday. The thing is they're in an uproar. Oh, yeah, no, the vandalism. Oh, he did this and he did that. You know, okay, what exactly did he do? Their vandalism.
Broke a window.
He broke a window out and threw a Bible in there. And that's what the vandalism was when it comes down to it. And they don't want to talk actually about what actually happened, but... they want to talk about vandalism and hate crime and, use all these punch words
right.
to get somebody to think that, okay, there's something that happened that really didn't happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, our church got the exact same news media coverage when someone threw a rock through our 100-year-old stained glass window, didn't we? Didn't we get the same media coverage? When people vandalized our church, when they spray-painted... filthy words on our church. Didn't we get the same media coverage? I don't think.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no. That was because we. I mean, we could have got coverage, but at the same time, we don't go to the media. I mean,
exactly. It doesn't promote their agenda.
Used to turn it in.
Yeah, it doesn't promote their agenda to do that. Whereas, like you're saying, they use these buzzwords to get people think something's happened that hasn't happened. To scare the people. There's a term the Bible uses for fear of the Jews. And that's who controls these media outlets. That's who controls Hollywood. Don't forget it. That's who has been instrumental in bringing their enemy and ours into this country with these Muslims to destroy, well, at least to destroy us. That's their plan.
God's got other plans, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
You talk about stupidity, Jason. It is pretty amazing. Sometimes you think, well, they can't top that, but yeah, they can. I don't know if you saw this last craze that's going out there was they're promoting taking those Tide pots, that laundry detergent, and putting them in your mouth and letting them... melt because they're designed in a pouch that deteriorates in water. And I mean, could you even, I don't know that you could even imagine these kind of things, 5-10 years ago, but these phones too, they've become a weapon of the enemy. It's a double-edged sword, like Pastor used to teach. And I believe that they're a conduit to demons, and these people have pretty much figured out how to master these things. I'm going to talk a little bit about it tomorrow, I think, actually, about Sigmund Freud and his nephew, which was largely responsible for changing this country from a nation of needs to a nation of wants by parking that new car in the neighbor's driveway and getting the people to want to keep up with the Joneses and all those things. And that was a big part of the degradation of society. And once they had the people changed from a society of needs to a society of wants, then they had to figure out a vehicle to be able to finance the needs or the wants of the people. And that's when credit came into effect and credit cards. But it's an interesting story and how it all, you know, I think the title of tomorrow's message is going to be, there truly is nothing new under the sun, because when you look at these things, you can compare them right back to ancient Israel and to the Israelites of old.
Yeah, that sure ties in with, you know, not to have the foreign gods. You know, don't have the foreigner among you, the foreign gods, the foreign ways. Those are not the ways that God made Adam, that God made the Adamites, that God wanted his people to do. You know, we were created to tend the garden, to take care of this place. You know, not to have 14 degrees in business and finance and you know, doing all those all that credit. It is not to our it is not what benefits us. You know, we have to.
It's funny that you bring up the false gods, because you look at the UN. I think that's another good thing, that one of the major good things that's going on right now is we seem to be pushing ourselves back from the United Nations. And when you look into the history of that, you'll understand more why it's important to denounce that whole thing. But actually, they're the ones that are responsible for bringing these false gods back into this country and throughout the world. UNESCO, which is funded by the United Nations, first brought in, you remember we talked about this a year or two ago, but probably 5 years ago by now, it's hard to even keep track anymore, but the Roman Triumphal Arch. And then that thing's been erected all, you know, in prominent places all throughout the world. And then most people didn't even hear about it, but the next false god statue idol that they brought in was the goddess Athena, that once stood in Palmyra. And then the latest that I just read about here last week was they just founded the reproduction of the third, which is a statue of a lion, but it's just like it was in the days of old. You know, they started to put up the false gods throughout the land, and the people loved it. So my prayer is that we don't fall asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel again, that we don't think that just because we've defeated Jezebel Clinton that everything's good and rosy, and which is obvious by a lot of what's going on in the world today, that we need to keep fighting the good fight. We need to keep praying vigilantly for God's will to be done.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we're almost out of time, but looks like the phone's ringing. We might have time for one quick phone call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee.
Yes, Richard. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Yeah. Morning, everybody.
We're just about
praise
wrapped
the Lord.
Up.
Morning,
just
Joe.
A couple minutes left here. How's your hand? Yeah, I got your text or email that you cut your hand.
Oh, it's doing well.
Good.
It's not a bad. You're talking about my hand.
Yeah.
Cut. Yeah. It's not a bad cut, but it is right at the joint there. So when you bend your finger, it just opens it right up again. So I've got it taped up. Anyway, I wonder if you guys had heard about this thing that occurred in New York City in a library a few days ago. I just looked it up. It crossed my mind when you guys were talking. They had a drag queen. They pulled in this really strange looking person, all made up. You got to look at it. A drag queen in New York City library. I sent you a link by email. But
I
to me, that is the ultimate. I mean, it's the West Coast coming over here and onto the East.
It is. They bring them in and have them read these filthy books to children to expose children
to. Yeah, a room full of little impressionable minds.
Yep.
And oh man, I'm telling you what. Well.
It's filth.
I just thought I'd bring that up. I'm kind of venting. I am just totally speechless at this point. It's just becoming so strange out there, which is one of the reasons why Donald Trump is under so much pressure and attack from even from his own party, because it's the party of the reaction. They're always on the defensive, and that's one reason why I ceased to become, or I ceased to call myself a conservative, because there's not, as the years go by, there's less and less to conserve. And Trump is a proactive president, and he's jumping right onto things, and even his own party brethren don't like him for it. He's rocking the boat too much. So,
anyway. Not brethren. They've infiltrated the Republican Party many, many years ago, and there's an enemy within. That's the bottom line. But the good news is, just like the Bible says, in the last days, they'll become bold and brazen, and the terrors are bold and brazen, and they can't even hide it anymore. John McCain, he's going down big time. I really believe in the rest of this month, you're going to see a takedown like we've never seen before.
Amen.
So praise God.
Amen. Joe, thanks for your call, brother. God bless. Well, guys, hate to end on a negative note. 1 Peter 1 says that you have an inheritance which is imperishable and undefined and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And in this you should greatly rejoice, and we should. We know, as you prayed at the beginning of the program, John, that the Lord sits in the heavens and laughs at these actions, these feeble actions of men. But we are protected by that faith in God, and by being His doers. And it goes on and says, you know, you might have your various trials, but that just proves your faith. It does. It strengthens, and it should encourage one. We should be encouraging one another with our faith, and it does. So, well, we're wrapping up. Guys, we invite you to come to church tomorrow, Remnant. We will be there starting at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 Eastern. And we'll have a full program for you, a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit message that will apply more today than it did the day it was preached. I believe that with all my heart. I look forward to those messages. And, John, I'm looking forward to your live message on what you were talking about. That, boy, they are always ones to keep you on your toes, and you better take notes. And we'll have a communion service. We'll have some good praise music. So we invite you to come to church with us. You can do that, folks, at scriptures4america.org. And starting at those times, click on the live video broadcast. Well, men, thanks so much. Remnant, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on.
Listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, broadcasting a politically incorrect message you truly can't get anywhere else. SFAWBN features music shows, health shows, science programs, roundtable discussions, as well as messages by the late pastor Peter J. Peters. To see our full program schedule, visit SFAWBN's website at sfawbn.com. That's sfawbn.com.